Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallantine. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
Kelly Grant,
the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, and you can find that on YouTube. And joining me, I'm like, what am I doing right now? I'm just going to hang out here. I'm just talking on a podcast. No, not got nothing else to do. And joining me today, that other person you heard laughing at my expense, as he should have, it's Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Hi. I love having a brain fart right at the top of the episode. It's a really great way to get into the show.
Well, it's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Day, and this show is full of brain farts.
Yeah.
So, like, this is a show full of farting brains.
A lot of farting brains and a lot of hot air. So, you guys, before we jump into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, of course, we have tons of live shows. Our closest one is... it's going to be in Irvine, California. We're going to be talking Southern Charm, the season premiere. We have less than 100 tickets left. There's not a lot of seats left in the theater. So we definitely want to make sure you get yours. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com and get your ticket. Of course, we're going to other places. We're going to Milwaukee next month. We're going to Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I think, actually might have sold out. I'll have to double check that one. And also Baltimore, and we're going to Nashville, and plenty of other places soon to be announced. So watch your crappens for all that. And then, of course, we have amazing merchandise. Ronnie, can you tell everyone about
it? Yeah, just
cool
go
stuff?
Over to crappensmerch.com for a Straight to the Rosé, and it's all about the rosé. Or no, Straight to the Rosé and rosé all day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And yeah. Also, we have a Game of Thrones podcast called Winter is Crappening, and there's new shirts for that one that say, shut up, Bran, because that's what we say a million times during the show. So,
yeah.
You know,
shut up,
real
Bran.
Creative.
Shut up, Bran. He really drives me nuts.
So now that all of that is done, let's go over to the Real Housewives of My Kitchen is Being Remodeled. Oh, yeah. And for those of you watching us over at the live stream and Crappens On Demand, thank you. We are doing that on Patreon a couple times a week. This week we did Pump Rules the other day. And today we're doing Beverly Hills. These are videos. So if you want to see these, you can watch them live streaming or you can see them afterwards on Crappens On Demand. Just go over to Patreon to sign up.
Yeah. So, so this week on Beverly Hills, we're finally going on this camping trip that they've been talking about for 2 weeks. It's exciting going out to the great outdoors or the great tents that are very nice that are in the outdoors.
Yeah, and this is the big episode. They're all going to try and convince us they don't need Lisa Vanderpump to have a show. And they're going to be wacky and wild, Kool-Aid style, all on their own out in the wilderness. And listen, I love Vanderpump, but if that bitch ain't going to show up to work, there's only so much I can root for her. You know what I mean? So I'm Team Vanderpump for the most part, but I'm also like, haha, let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
And the basic game for me in this is how many times are they going to bring up Lisa Vanderpump? Even though they're going to try and do a show without her. And it turns out 38,000 times, I counted.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm team Lisa Vanderpump, but I'm also team can we have a good show? And this episode was a little like, okay, cool. So it opens up with Kyle. She is packing for this big camping trip. I have to say, I really enjoyed her sweater. You know, I've gotten to this like phase in life where I enjoy a chunky sweater with crazy patterns on it. So she was really killing it in the sweater
game
for me.
Really? Because I wrote my first note on this episode is Kyle packs terrible clothes and calls Teddy.
Well, I'm not saying the clothes she packed were great. I just like the sweater she was wearing.
So she's like, are the glam squads coming? I mean, it's like, yeah, Kyle, you're hilarious. So Teddy and Kyle are being wacky. And then we go over to Dorit.
Yeah. And Dorit's breaking the news to her glam squad that they cannot come glamping. And they're like, well, where is it? She was like, oh, it's a couple hours outside of Beverly Hills. And it's an exotic place called North Hollywood. It's very far away.
It's a northern.
It's a place called Sherman Oaks. We're going to be sleeping amongst the oaks of the Oaks of Sherman.
And then, meanwhile, Rinna's packing everything that she sees. She's like, just in case, feather duster. You never know. There's a lot of dust out there. It's camping. Like, she's freaking out.
She's got like wire cutters, an Ethernet cable, a stapler, like a sock orphan. You know, she's like,
watch what Crappin's candle. A dongle.
Yeah, she's got, I'm like, you can see me like looking around my room. Like, what does she have? A pillow protector, you know. She has some mail she hasn't opened up yet.
Drying out vape cartridge because she started chain smoking again instead.
She has a card from one of the mechanics at Toyota of Hollywood.
A giant overused Crystal Geyser water bottle.
She has one of those weird things that like you use to wipe off sunglasses. They're like the cloth that doesn't have like that cloth on it, you know?
And Harry, her husband, the know-it-all, he knows everything about everything in life. He's like, what are you doing? Are those wire cutters? She's like,
you don't know what happens if we see a bear and the bear has placed a bomb. We have to cut one of the wires. You never know.
So he's like, these boots are a little ridiculous. She's like, whatever. And then she's bringing this bottle of sanitizer that's bigger than my head. And I have a very big head. Okay.
Yeah. It's large. It's a large bottle. I think I kind of feel like she thinks that if she goes to the woods for one night, that's the night that the aliens invade and blow up Los Angeles Independence Day style. And she's like, I gotta have all my rations. Gotta have everything so we can survive when the aliens come. Because we have Denise. And she's battled aliens before. But this is gonna be a lot of aliens, baby.
Oh, God, I wish the aliens did come right to that desert while they were camping. Who would be more scared? I mean, I think that the best defense against aliens are Real Housewives faces. They'll be like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Like, why are we invading here again?
You people look crazy.
Yeah. Like, we come in peace. Ooh, we leave in peace too. Bye.
We're leaving. Yeah, peace.
So then we go over to Teddy's house. I mean, and we see this ugly ass RV. And I mean, it is hideous because it's been, as they say, it's been wrapped, meaning that there's been like an ad that's been put on it. It says Skyline. And for a little while, I didn't know what that meant. It wasn't until the bus was on the highway that we truly saw that Skyline stood for Skyline Security, whatever Edwin's company is. So he has bought an RV and he's wrapped it in this like hideous advertising. It's like one thing to wrap it in advertising, but this is like, it's like images of like people going off to go surfing or something, and then like it says Skyline. It is so tacky. I would be furious if I paid like $4 million to have a beautiful house on a cliff in LA, and then there's this tacky ass tour bus with advertising on it right across the street.
It takes up the whole street.
Also,
this didn't lead to very good news on Beverly Hills because, you know, people, of course, they're on this show to promote their own products. And I get that you're there to promote your Skyline. I get it. But it had the opposite effect because people were like, oh, that's the name of his company. Let's Google it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't end up so well for the Teddies of the world because the Yelp reviews are so bad.
Really?
They're like, he's got tons of one-star reviews about defrauding people and having really aggressive sales tactics and then people still being charged. Like their mom had to sign a 60-year contract and they were still being charged and they were arguing with her after the mom died. I mean, it's bad. They're bad reviews and they're not new reviews. It just came from bitter fans. I'm sure that will start happening, but they were, you know, pre the show and stuff.
And let's not also forget that they were doing the security when Kyle Richards' house was robbed. So,
well, they said they hadn't turned it on yet because there were people working in the house. But there you go. Yeah, they're not. This show isn't doing great.
But you know what? Here's the thing, though. I'm sorry, because the whole story we were told was that Edwin bought that RV so he could go tailgating down at like Rams games or whatever, which means that he's that obnoxious guy who goes to the Rams game, sets up his like bus, and like basically he's just trying to advertise his company. And again, you know, you can never knock someone's hustle. But I mean, like, how annoying, like, you bring your billboard into, like, the Rams parking lot to go tailgating. It's just, like, it's, to me, it's, like, slimy. I don't know. I just feel like you're like, taking advantage. like, this is supposed to be a place where we can get drunk and celebrate a problematic league. Not to be forced to look at your stupid security billboard.
Yeah, Skyline.
Mad. I'm so mad at that. Like, if it had been like a refined ad, I've been like, oh, you know what? Good for him. He's earning an honest buck. But you're going to put up that tacky ass billboard around that bus. It's not right. It's not right, Edwin. And you're wearing those tank tops and the fedora.
Yeah, the fedora. You lost me at fedora. You know, that's where you lost me. And Teddy. So Teddy's like, you know, going up and hi, I'm Teddy. You would go, hi, I'm crabbing, or like, hi, I'm camping. But, you know, like, that's what normal people do, just down to earth, totally normal. It's like, so what? My dad's a rock star. I'm just totally down to earth and normal. I'm like, you've got a full face of makeup and 10 pounds of weave on, Teddy. Like, please just drop this.
And she puts out a fancy charcuterie platter. And by the way, Jennifer Aiden from Real Housewives of New Jersey, this is how you do a platter, okay? None of that bullshit of, like, you went to ShopRite and got, like, the crudités with the plastic on top, and you just show up with that. If you're going to make a platter and be on Real Housewives, you do that sort of platter. You do the Teddy platter.
Yeah. And she's like, everyone is in L.A., like, being outdoorsy, it's like a full face of makeup, whatever. I'm like, you have a full face of makeup, Teddy. Oh, my God. So then Rinna arrives, and she's like, I'm nervous, but I've got wire cutters.
Hello. Camper here. Camper's here. Do we need to turn off any lights? Wire cutters. Wire cutters.
And one of my favorite, just kidding, I hate this, but Real Housewives of Beverly Hills tropes is Kyle pretending that she has neuroses about everything. And she's been doing it since the first season, and none of it's true. She's like, I'm afraid of flying. Look, I'm flying all over the world. It's like, shut up, Kyle. You know, get a personality.
Yeah, because she's wearing these giant, like, these really tall, like, wading boots. And she's like, I'm scared of ticks, which is actually a legitimate thing to be scared of. To be fair, like, for all the talk about the limes, no one ever mentioned ticks on this damn show. And it's about time that someone mentioned a tick, okay? Because Yolanda talked a lot about limes, and then she would go throw herself in, like, a pile of grass and take an Instagram photo. And I'm like,
Well, that was chronic Lyme, which is different. She said on Dr. Oz that she was never bit by a tick at all. So that was chronic Lyme. It wasn't Lyme disease. Yeah.
Can you get chronic Lyme without being bit by a tick?
Yeah, chronic Lyme is different than Lyme. They're like two different things. And do you really want me to explain this over and over? Because remember that season? Oh, my God. I would not stop. Lyme. You guys, I know so much about Lyme and chronic Lyme and the difference. And I know so much now because of the show. You know what? Sometimes crappens makes you smarter. So just deal with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Kyle is – that being said, I respect Kyle being scared of ticks because growing up in the Northeast, it's like, you know, you go even close to a twig and you're like, ticks! But I will say, like, she was – I mean, I was surprised she wasn't in a full hazmat suit. I mean, all you have to do is, like, tuck your jeans into your socks or whatever. Like, it's okay. It's okay, yeah. Kyle. And then later on when she was hiking, her ankles were totally exposed, so go figure.
Yeah, so Kyle's like, well, hey, girls, I cannot wait to only just have our own show and not talk about everything else. So I talked to PK the other day about that fight I'm having with him about Vanderpump.
Oh, God. So I took a screenshot of the text messages that – do you want me to read them? Do you have the screenshot too?
I did. Did I throw it away? You know what? I threw it in the trash.
I can't believe you would throw such an important correspondence away.
Oh, no, I still have it. Yeah, here, let me zoom in
here while you get it up. So PK sent this to Kyle. He goes, I actually didn't even read this. I just figured I'd wait for the show. He goes, Hey, babe. He didn't say that, but I added that. Hey, babe. Dorit just told me you're still upset at my comment. I'm sorry. I was insensitive, and I told you I was sorry shortly after I realized you didn't like what I said. And I'm sure you know it was never meant to hurt. You need to let this go now and not take it out on Dorit. She doesn't control what I say, Kyle, even though she would like to. Cry laugh, cry laugh, cry laugh.
I have to point out that he said, after I realized you didn't like what I has said. So she says, thank you, appreciate that. Prayer hands. I wasn't taking it out on her, but did bring it up as it was out of the blue and hurtful, especially considering all the shit with LVP.
Mm-hmm. By the way, what is this? What is this font? What is this text message display? Like, it looks like it's sort of
a normal font.
No, my font doesn't look like that. And on top of that, the text bubbles are square. I feel like it's not real.
Oh, they were probably just photoshopped it all together.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like
tricky editors.
We know our proprietary fonts, and these are not them.
This is really from John Blizzard.
I know.
Oh, by the way, someone included us in some tweet telling off John Sessa, which rightfully so, he deserved it. But we were not saying that John Sessa was all over town blabbing. We said that John Blizzard was all over town blabbing. Yeah. So just to keep your John Queen straight from Vanderpump Dogs.
Yeah. We were included on? That's hilarious. Wait, what?
Yeah. Someone, because John Sessa tweeted that Ariana should be... Ariana is so ungrateful because how dare she speak anything against Lisa Vanderpump after Lisa Vanderpump has done so much to her. And then Ariana tweeted back something like, hi, we've been friends for years and we've had these discussions a million times. So your little prepared tweet to kiss ass is not amusing. Something like that.
Yeah.
And then someone included us in the tweet and was like, Watch What Crappens has already called you out on blabbing your fucking fat mouth all over town.
Thanks for tattling whoever did that.
Yeah, don't add us. Haven't you guys ever heard that? Don't add us. Like, my God.
Yeah, like, why would you do that? Like, it shocks me when people do that. It's like, it's crazy. Like, yes, like, we say it and we'll always stand by what we say, but like,
don't at people.
Don't
my
try
God,
to like drag us into this fight and don't try to make someone feel like, you know, like, I don't know, like, I don't
or
like
at least
being
do it to the right person
shitty.
You know, because it wasn't Sessa, it was Blizzard, so I just had to mention that.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, just in general, it's like, if someone, like, yes, we will always stand behind what we say, but like, if we like are ever like tweet something where we don't at a celebrity in it, like, we didn't add them on purpose, you know, because we're like, you know, this will probably, like, you know, like, why add this to their life? So, you know. Yeah.
So, anyway, so they're talking about that, and Kyle's basically happy with that. She's going to forgive PK and drop it, which I'm sure is going to happen because you know how they are in Beverly Hills. Just never, they never keep a shallow fight over nothing going for entire seasons. So, yeah. I'm sure this is going to come through.
Yeah. I also, in that text message, I thought it was sort of weird that PK was like, you need to let this go now. Like, he just is commanding her just to drop this.
Yeah, drop this now, babe.
Yeah, drop
okay,
it, babe.
Okay, PK. Okay, thanks for your permission on what I can talk about, someone who has nothing to do with me. Stupid fart. You're a stupid fart. Stupid there, fart. I said it, PK.
Oh, we said hot air. So Denise shows up at Teddy's place. She's like, hey, I'm here, and I brought muffins for breakfast tomorrow, so what else is new? Got eaten out by Aaron, made the muffins, now I'm ready to go.
Teddy's like, this is crazy. I am dead. She brought muffins. Like, why is that crazy? Like, everything. Teddy, like, is on my last, okay? I can't. And then Denise is like, I also brought some motherfucking shot glasses, all right? You got some muffins and a little baby shot glasses. I love Denise's consistency.
Yeah, I love that. I love that she brought muffins. I thought that was so sweet. Like, I love Denise Richards. I cannot believe how much I'm loving her.
Yeah. And then Erica comes in and she's like, everyone thinks that Erica wouldn't want to go camping. I've been camping my whole life. I'm dressed like RuPaul right now. How much more camping do you need from me, baby? Fuck it. I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. Listen, I'm a fishing, camping, go-kart riding, gun-shooting tomboy. Also name my new song. I'm a fishing, camping, go-kart riding, gun-shooting tomboy. I'm a fishing, camping, go-kart riding, gun-shooting tomboy. I don't give a fuck.
In my pussy.
I go camping in my pussy. Go camping in my pussy. Pitch a tent and go camping in my pussy.
So
it's not a bad song, honestly.
So Kyle's like, can we eat? So then Camille comes in and she's like, hi. I can't believe we're going camping.
It's a camping. And Oh, yeah, we're going to be going camping. And
I'm really so excited.
We'll be traveling
maybe,
a few hours outside of Los Angeles. And,
it's
going to
be
campfire.
Driving.
Hopefully no bears. We don't want any bears. And it's going to be fun. And we'll sleep in a tent. And it'll be a lot
upsetting.
Of fun.
So she comes over and Denise is like, well, you know, I've seen Camille and I've heard her talk about the other woman. And listen, I don't think that bitch is going to be able to shut her pie hole for 2 seconds. So good luck to us. Right.
Hello. This is Lisa Rinna. We have an ad coming up, so you better listen to it, baby.
Meanwhile, Rinna is channeling her inner Ben Mandelker because she gets onto the bus. She's like, whoa, look at that charcuterie. Whoa, whoa, charcuterie. That's what I do every time I'm near a cheese plate. And you can attest to that because you saw me at Leon Locken's wedding.
Yeah, you love a charcuterie. So Kyle's like, oh, my God, this is so crazy because I'm normally so neurotic right now. And Rinna's like, well, what's wrong with you? I was like, only in Beverly Hills. Do people think something's wrong with you when you're not, like, flaunting your neuroses, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just weird that someone as neurotic as Kyle Richards then drives a little death trap that's, like, a three-wheel scooter or whatever to the supermarket to buy, like, a loaf of bread because that's all that fits into that stupid thing.
Yeah, Kyle's one of those girls at a pool hall who's like, pool, I'm just a girl. It's like, okay.
Hall. You know? You're in a pool hall. Kyle Richards is one of those people who, you know, she put him on a spaceship and say, okay, guess what, you're an honorary astronaut, and she's like, astronaut, I don't even know what I'm doing,
I'm afraid of oxygen, I'm such a girl.
So now the RV's on the road. We see it in all its hideous glory, that stupid billboard.
That is a bad. I'm sorry, but I know that I'm not really loving Teddy this season, but it has nothing to do with that. That is a stupid RV. Okay,
yeah.
Stupid.
Because I'm oddly still okay with Teddy. I'm gonna call her Teddy. Okay, because until she gets rid of that billboard, she gets an L in her name. Okay,
Teddy. I'm Teddy.
I am Teddy. Get rid of that rap, otherwise you're known as Teddy from now on.
Yeah, so they're in that stupid bus or RV or whatever, and Erica's and Denise, they're all scared basically because they're in a huge vehicle and is being driven by Edwin's assistant. It's not like a professional
girl
or anything. Yeah, Michelle. And so Denise's like, we're getting awful bit close to those big old trucks over there, and Erica's like, these chicks are having the meltdown and we haven't even gotten out of the city of Los Angeles. Not like me, a go-kart riding, beer swilling, weenus pinching in my poussé-side kind of girl, all right?
Which also proves that Erica has never driven in Los Angeles, because if you have driven in Los Angeles, you have a meltdown every 2 seconds on those highways, okay?
Yeah, and it's more terrifying in Los Angeles than out of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Anyone want to play some cornhole? I'm just a normal girl from the sticks.
I'm just a girl who likes to swill some beer and eat some pie and play some pool and fish for some fish and just be a good old normal girl.
Good, totally normal.
So they pull into a Vons, which is a supermarket for those.
It's horrifying. And it's, you know, it's horrifying.
Talk about
to everybody.
The great wilderness. Yeah.
Yeah. The great wilderness. You know, it's horrifying because Rinna goes, I love the market.
She says, I love the market. As if they're going to some like artisanal like area with like a bunch of booths and like trinkets. She's like, oh my God, look at this market. And Teddy goes, or Teddy, I should say, really. She goes, okay, we are about to pull into a grocery store. She like announces it the way like if you're on like a tour bus in a foreign country, like the sort of place that we're going to is called a grocery store. This is where people buy food and items. They're all like, oh, they're all getting out their cameras, taking photos.
And you know, none of them have been. You know, you can just tell that they haven't been in years. Like, Rinna walks in there. She's like, oh, we can get donuts. They have donuts here. Wait, where are we? Are those donuts?
They Did you notice they all just like ran for the carb section, like all the baked goods? They were just like walking around staring. It was like, it's like window shopping down Fifth Avenue. Like, oh, look, there's some bread. Oh, look. Oh, bagels. Oh, there's a donut. There's a donut. Oh, my God, a cake. A cake. They got a cake here. They got a cake.
And Camille's just goes up to, I think she goes up to a bagel. I don't know what she's looking at, but she goes, how cute.
Can we adopt it? Can we adopt the bagel? Can we do that? Oh, look at this. Oh my God. I just want to give it a kiss. It's like,
it's
Denise,
so funny.
That's a rye bread. I mean,
can we get this? Can we get this dick? My husband's dick's for sale. They're like, that's a French loaf, ma'am.
Okay. Hey, can you show me where the green penises are? You mean the cucumbers? Yeah, whatever.
And then Dorit's takes... horrified. She's like, everyone's grabbing things off the shelf like it's Armageddon.
And Rinna finds a giant thing of cheese balls, which is like the first thing that they pull up that I'm like, okay, this is what you should be getting right now. And she's like, anyone remember these? Remember these? Cheese balls.
Cheese balls.
And Dorit goes, I do. It brings me back. Brings me back to Connecticut / Britain / Zimbabwe, where I was born. I love Dorit. Like, I love, of course, a cheese ball is what is going to, like, connect with Dorit.
And bagels. Dorit actually won points with me because she's like, hey, it's bagels. And they were like, no, gross. No one's eating a fucking carb.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, they were just like, this was like going into a porn shop for them, you know, just like leafing through, like when you're a kid, leafing through those magazines and then just like putting it back, being like, no, I can't.
And then they're asking Kyle, well, what do you take on camping trips? And she's like, always 30 calorie almond milk. I'm like, oh God, Kyle, you're so try hard. Just be quiet.
No, hummus and carrots and all that, which is actually totally delicious, but
just yeah. So try. Okay, so then they spend $700 at the store, which is kind of hilarious. And you can tell that Erica's the only one who's ever had a real job. Because she's like,
so wait, are we dividing the bill? Are we just going to each pay an equal part?
I was really enjoying Erica this episode, actually. And I realize I've been generally enjoying Erica a lot this season. In other seasons, I feel like Erica doesn't give me enough, and she still doesn't give me enough. But I don't know. I think that she's just sort of having a little bit more fun this
time. Well, she usually just does her own scenes and then stays quiet in the main scenes, unless she's super pissed off. And she's just only about her outfit and filming with her gaze. And this time, she's doing that. She's being herself when she's talking. You know, she's at least being in the scenes. Like, she's present, you know.
She's having fun.
She's mostly just bitching about Vanderpump. It's hilarious when she's like, listen, here's what I think about it. I don't care. I don't give a flying fuck about anything, all right? Nothing you're talking about is important to me.
I think that she's sort of like transitioned from like, these ladies are crazy and like, I'm not going to give them too much because they're going to use it against me, to be like, oh, whatever. I like them. Let's just have fun and, you know,
talk about fishing and shooting and skiing and building with bricks and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, I agree. I'm liking her more too. Yeah. So they get to the KOA, Ventura Ranch, and I was like, wow, that's some really tough camping.
Somewhere Katie just got very excited. No, it's an actual ranch, not a new brand.
Katie's out there licking the sign. Like, all stoned. So they see a deer and a peacock, which apparently the cameraman is obsessed with because we see this peacock 90 more times.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, oh my God, it's so cute. Are you kidding me?
Wow, it's cute. Whoa, it's cute. Oh, cute little desert you've got here.
You know, like, I'm just a country girl. I see a peacock and I'm like, hey, what's up, peacock?
So, they get there, and the tents, of course, it's like glamping. So the tents are gorgeous. It's like they're structured. They're like little houses, you know? And they've got like fans, and they're like fun and beautiful beds and everything. And Rena's like, this is like a yurt. It's like a yurt. It's like a yurt. You know, Dorit was like, I can't believe they're having a steak and yogurt. My Dorit is slowly turning into your Dorit. Like, I just
no, keep
right
it.
No, I'm not even trying. It just came out British sounding.
Dorit. This is not roughing it, girls. And so Camille and Denise are going to their yurt. And Camille's like, are those peacocks or are they turkeys?
They actually did look a little bit like turkeys. I don't know, but you know, that's a question that probably plagued Camille for like weeks. She wakes up in the middle of the night. Were they peacocks or turkeys?
Pardon me for coughing in everybody's face.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Oh, you didn't? Well, wowee! They did on the video. Sorry, everybody. So then Rin and Erica are going to theirs, and Erica's rolling Rinna's luggage for some reason. And she's like, what the fuck is in this bag, Lisa Rinna? Was somebody dead? Is it Van the Pump?
Do I feel a wire cutter pressing into my side? So they get, so Rinna like opens up her bag inside the tent, and she's like, I got a new puffer and a onesie and a pillow and workout clothes and jammies. I also brought an old computer from 1986. Just found it. Thought I'd bring it.
It's DOS.
MS DOS.
Floppy disks.
I thought it said MSNBC at first. It's MS DOS.
Brought a coffee table.
I brought a bowling ball. I thought maybe we could roll it down a hillside. I brought an anvil. I found one. I just wanted to see what it would be like.
An anvil. Yeah, she's just cracking herself this whole episode. This is basically Lisa Rinna wandering around the wilderness cracking up at herself.
Rinna and Afraid.
Yes, that's the new show. You're stuck on an island just listening to Rinna laugh at herself. Like, you don't even have to be naked.
Yeah. So then they set up a beer pong table, and so they're having this very like unspirited game of beer pong where they're like, of course Kyle Richards does it wrong. Well, not totally wrong, because there is, of course, a school of thought that when you play beer pong, you bounce the ball off the table and it goes in. But she's like, they're like, it's like bounce, 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 etc. I'm like, Kyle, just throw the ball. Throw the ball, Kyle. It's like really simple rules.
Yeah, and Erica's like, is this awkward? I'm 47 years old playing ping pong. I'm like, you're also 47 years old dressed like a fucking hooker Barbie doll rubbing your crotch all over the ground in gay bars, okay? Like, I'm sure you can take ping pong ball.
It's the least awkward thing that's happening right now in this episode.
Yeah. So I've never played ping pong without my cooter before, so I think I'll go get a massage, losers.
So Kyle and Rinna are playing beer pong, and they're not good at it. Then Dorit comes in, and Dorit's great. But, you know, Dorit's from Connecticut, you know?
Yeah, Dorit can play some pong. She didn't get her money till way later in life, so
yeah,
she knows how to play the pong.
It made me actually respect Dorit a little
bit more. Not to say that rich people can't play ping pong. I mean, pong. What am I trying to say? Beer pong. But let's face it. Rich people are not as good at beer pong. They're just not.
And Kyle Richards is definitely not as good at it.
Yeah. So Denise is like, yeah, can't he drink already? I was like, yeah, you go, girl.
Yeah. And then everyone settles down at the table and starts eating crudités, which is really their strong point.
Crudités. I know. They were just putting those cheese puffs to look normal, and then they're down to carrot sticks.
Yeah.
So Kyle does what Kyle does. She can't make it 2 fucking seconds without bringing up Vanderpump. So she's like, well, you know, guys, we all make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Like, and then Brynn is like, yeah, we have to teach our children that everyone makes mistakes. It's okay. And then Teddy's like, do you regret your mistake going to Vanderpump? And I was like, oh, I'm shocked, guys. Shocked that we're here. Here we go.
And Kyle says she doesn't regret going there, but she regrets the outcome, which is sort of a cop-out. Like, you regret...
So, no,
like,
you don't regret it.
It's bullshit because it makes it sound like Kyle has regrets and she's human, but you regret that someone is angry at you, so you don't regret. That's what that means. You don't regret anything that you did.
Yeah, you just regret that they're an asshole. Basically.
You regret that someone didn't like that you came over to their house and accused them of being a liar. Okay, got it.
Yeah, okay. We're on the same page now, Kyle.
Yeah. And Dorit's like, I don't understand how Lisa is still angry with me. I don't understand why she would be. All I did was take a dog from her place and then send it to Shelley Cher. What could be possibly wrong about that?
And Teddy's like, oh, she's originally angry with you. That's what you don't get to read. And Kyle's like, yeah, it's passive aggressive. Yeah, that was your punishment.
Yeah.
And
then Erica just like rolls up in a golf cart.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, God. I heard you talking about same old bullshit. Glad I stopped getting massaged so I can come here, you losers.
And they are blown away because they're like, why is your face still normal after that massage? Like, oh.
Did it face up? That's why.
And Rinna's like, oh, yeah, I don't do a face down. No way. I gotta preserve this. It's a lot of plastic to preserve. I was like, you people are crazy. You're getting a massage and you're only lying on your back? What is wrong with you guys?
No, I think they lay on their face. They just don't smush their face down. I think that there's a way that you can, like, either lift your face or put your...
That they don't go face down. They face up.
No, they said they don't smush their face.
Oh.
Like, in other words, she says, I don't smush my face down. Meaning, when you get the massage, sometimes you just lay down on your face, you know, smush
that
it down.
That little circle thing.
Yeah, but I don't know what they do instead, but I think that she still got it on her back. I don't know.
Something seemed wrong, and I was fuming.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you do it without smushing your face, but whatever, okay?
Yeah, yeah. So Dorit is like, you know, gives Erica the update that they were just talking about Lisa and how Lisa drew a line in the sand. And Erica's like, you know what? I only care about the women in this group, you know? I just want to hang out with women who are just, like, easy to get along with, not women that are playing chess. I want women who are just going to go fishing and kickballing and gun shooting and rope swinging and leech pulling off in women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't want to be friends with difficult people. Well, there are people who keep score. Who move chess pieces around the board like Bobby Fischer. Gee, I wonder where I got that one from. Yeah.
It's almost like the queen that shows you the apple. Want some?
Like, what queen does that?
Yeah, Snow White's queen. She's trying to give Snow White the apple so
she's
can
an old lady,
her and be the fairest of them all.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
I've never bought into it.
And I never will. She tries to make everyone else look stupid and herself look good. And everyone else looks stupid. All right, I've got a text to prove that I'm a very good person. It says, heard your brother died. See you soon. I'm having a beer right now.
Not having your apple. I prefer pear. Thank you.
I will say this, though. You know, I mean, obviously, I've been on Vanderpump's side through all this. But let's not act like if Vanderpump were there, it would be fun. Because, you know, she probably would have, like, added all these, like, weird old lady kind of jokes. I don't want to say old lady. I don't want to be ageist. She'd just add, like...
Too late.
Too late. Fine. I might as well lean into it. But, you know, she would have added, like, her little fuddy-duddy things. Like, she'd be like, beer pong? Oh, Dorit, does that remind you of your crazy days when you would drink beer twice a week? Ooh. And, you know, be like, okay, it's sort of lame.
I live for that. How dare you?
But you know, realistically, though, yeah. If you were hanging out with these women, it's probably a little bit more fun without Lisa there. And I'm saying that as someone who has been on Lisa's side and continues to be on her side.
Well, I don't know. Sure, not more fun watching it. So, no. For me, at least. So she's like, Erica's like, yeah, she loves the queen from Snow White. So then Erica's like, yeah, I never bought it. And Kyle's like, but I really love Lisa. I wish she was here. Yeah, Kyle. Okay.
That's what's such bullshit. Like, that's what drives me nuts about Kyle, is that, like, she's always...
Starts everything.
She's,
and then
she's always
like,
politics
I
with her.
You.
Yeah, she's, you know, because she knows that Lisa's going to be watching it. Like, it drives me nuts. Kyle has just become very inauthentic, and I think it's sort of like a cancer on this show. I think it's a real, real cancer, and it's like the Kyle that used to just go, like, it was hot and cold. That's the Kyle we need back. This is not the Kyle we need.
Yeah, I don't need this Kyle.
So
I
now
need
they
season
go,
one Kyle or no Kyle at all.
Yeah. So now they go hiking, and Kyle's, of course, talking about how she's afraid of ticks, even though her ankles are exposed. And then she's, like, clacking with sticks to scare away any bears, and the deer are just, like, looking at her like, who is this crazy bitch? Okay, we get crazy bitches in here every day. This one's the craziest of them all.
God, Kyle, even the deer in the desert hate you. Okay, yeah. That's how obnoxious you're being.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's like, oh my God, I have dirt on my toes. And I was like, please don't make me watch Kyle for one more fucking second. So let's watch more Kyle. Go rock climbing.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, we have to wear a contraption to do this? What is this? And the guy, his name is Forrest, working in
the
desert.
Nose. On the nose, Forrest.
He's like, okay, it's a race. So whoever gets to the top first and hits the buzzer wins. And Dorit's like, yeah. I mean, Rinna's like, Dorit, look at Dorit. Dorit is apparently good at anything outside.
Yeah.
Like, that's where Dorit really excels. She just climbs the top of the thing. It's like, da-dinga.
To be fair, she probably has to climb up a wall every single time to get into her repossessed house.
She literally does have to climb to get to that house. Last week when they showed people walking into that house, they're like, oh, they're like grabbing onto anything
so
that they could to get into that house.
It is so steep. I mean, this episode I was looking at, I was like, this is such a vertical house. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Remember they had to hire golf carts when they had a party to take people up and down the driveway because it was so steep?
Oh, my goodness. So then Camille puts on, like, the harness, and she's like, oh, this contraptions. I used to have to wear a contraption like this with my ex. That's why we're no longer together. And they're like, you're talking about a strap-on? She's like, oh, bingo. Bingo.
And I felt Fraser's butthole clench,
which
so tight. Yeah. because it sounds like she's talking about him. We find out later that she's not. She's talking about an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, I sort of figured. I was like, you know, she did say ex. So we shouldn't automatically assume it's Fraser, but I'm going to just because it's more fun. And then it made me think of Fraser falling off the stage that one time, which has nothing to do with a strap-on, but I just enjoy embarrassing moments for Fraser sometimes.
And Camille's like, what? This is the things we do for love.
Or a crazy night. So yeah. So of course they start climbing. Everyone's climbing. It's just a lot of climbing. And so now it's Kyle's turn to climb. And she's like all of like 4 feet off of the ground. And she's like, I'm scared. Oh my God. Heights. My body goes numb. I look down. I gotta come down. I care more about my life than anything. I'm like, Kyle, you are like at coffee table height.
Yeah, I can't with Kyle's fake neuroses. I can't. So then at lunch, they all go sit at a breakout star time. Who's a breakout star at lunch?
The peacock.
What's a peacock? Peacock.
Because the peacock is just sort of like looking away. Like, I know you see me and I'm acting like I can't see you. But now I'm looking at you.
Happy Thanksgiving. The turkey is here.
A, B, C. No, Camille. Wrong one, Camille.
I love this channel. It's what the good wife is on. Oh, Camille.
I love watching MSCVS.
Yeah, it's ahead of a network. I've dated that peacock. So they're eating and trying to figure out how to grill.
Oh, God. This was a travesty.
And Denise is like, yeah, I know how to grill. I'm kind of in hot water for it because I was a vegetarian before I met Aaron. You know, you get a piece of that big dick, you're going to need a little meat sometimes to keep you normal. My kids aren't happy about it, though, so, you know, fuck them.
Yeah, ever since I met Aaron, I just couldn't stop eating the meat. And then I started eating beef, too. Get it? Ha! Ha.
And Dorit, guess who knows how to do it? Dorit.
It was hilarious because Camille is like, the steaks were one thing. Those big, beautiful steaks. I would have been furious if they messed up those steaks because those were gorgeous steaks. And then there was like issues. There was a lot of discussion about oiling the grill. And then on top of that, I guess someone bought like a shitty ass spatula that was like silicone that's not going to be good for the grill. So Dorit was like, are you crazy? You can't use this on a grill. It's going to melt. We can't have this. PK,
these girls do not belong anywhere near a fire. PK, Remove yourself immediately because you're going to kill somebody.
So basically, Dorit and Teddy go in to save this poor situation. And like, say what you will about Teddy, I sort of believe her outdoor cooking authority more than I do Camille's. So she's trying to fix it, and Camille is getting mad because they're like, you're fired. You're fired from the grill. And Camille's like, oh, wow, what a know-it-all. I mean, I can't believe I've never been fired from a job before, and I'm being fired from the barbecue. I don't know.
I can't believe she's insinuating herself into my grilling. I mean,
oh my God, I can't believe she's Instagramming herself into my grill experience.
And in Camille's defense, she was the one who found the metal tongs, okay? Which is the biggest step so far that you guys have taken. So Teddy's like, get out. And she pushes him out and closes the grill. And Camille puts the tongs on top of the grill, like, fine. And she puts them there. And then Teddy opens the grill and the tongs fall on the floor. And she's like, Camille, those are tongs that are on the floor. Camille's like, oh, I guess it's all my fault.
Yes, actually, you did guess that correctly. If you put the tongs on top of the grill and then Teddy doesn't see them and opens it, then yes, you should.
Well, that's Teddy's fault for not looking at the top 75%, of the grill. I will not be on Teddy's side.
Well, why should she expect to have tongs on top of the grill? That's not
maybe
where tongues
belong.
Maybe she
should belong. Look at the grill. Maybe she should stop judging everybody long enough to look at
maybe,
top of the
maybe
grill.
Maybe Camille should look at
it.
Where look at the tongue section, the tongue, the little sideboard for the tongues, and look there. Fine. I'll just say, I'm going to say 60% Camille, 40% Teddy.
I'm saying Teddy's stupid. I'm with you, Camille, okay? On this, for everything else you've done this season, you're dead to me, Kavanaugh lover. But up until then, I'm with you on the metal tongues.
I just have pushed the Kavanaugh thing out of my mind because it doesn't work
well.
You
should,
well with,
yeah. You
it
should,
doesn't
we
work
should,
well with
we
my
should
other
never
views
speak
of Camille. Like, I feel yeah. like, I'm like, I it doesn't, like, I it's really hard for me to reconcile yeah. those things.
Yeah. With housewife stuff, you just have to ignore a lot of things, okay?
Until you can't.
It's like
until
being
you
in
really
a friendship.
Can't.
Yeah, it's like friendship or any relationship. You're like, if we're going to be friends, we're going to ignore these things about each other.
Yeah. I mean, there's sometimes you get to a point where you're like, okay, I cannot ignore this, that what you stood for here. But in this case, I'm like, I'm going to turn a little bit of a blind eye towards Camille because she's not
yeah,
a real housewife
it.
Anyway.
Yeah. So then Teddy's like, okay, wait. So when are we? Oh, yeah. Kyle shows them foil stuck to potatoes. Oh, yeah, because they start eating now. They're eating sweet potatoes, which is, again, they're so funny because they're pretending they're being so unhealthy and they're all eating like sweet potatoes that they grilled.
Yeah. Well, that's paleo.
Yeah, but that's what's funny because they're like, we're just going to eat junk food.
Oh, yes, like, yes, yes, yes. I thought you said the other way around.
Like, I might have. I probably did. I can't speak very well. So then Brenna's like, whoa, how did this happen? It's a potato that's cooked with fire. Brenna just falls over.
I know. But luckily they have some of those like some of those like heart attack paddles because she happened to pack them.
Yeah. She's like, I think fire will make those work. Whoa! Back.
Clear. I just did it to myself. It felt great.
So they all sit down to eat, and Kyle's like, isn't this fun? Oh, God, and Camille, you're married soon. So how's that? So who's coming to your wedding? Not LVP, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, Kyle, you made it 5 fucking minutes without bringing up LVP. Jesus, get alive.
So Camille's basically like, well, you know, I don't know if LVP is going to come, but if she didn't even come to my baby shower, I don't think she's going to come. So Teddy's like, well, you know what you really should do? If you really want her to come, don't text her. Pick up the phone and call her. And Camille, of course, is like not happy to be told this because she doesn't even know how to use a phone. And the last thing she needs is Teddy to tell her how to do it.
Yeah, and Teddy's like, yeah, that's the way to handle things. Shut up, Teddy. Nobody fucking asked you, okay? So then Camille's like, she's inserting herself into conversations she shouldn't even be involved in. And Teddy's like, well, this is your big day. And if people really want to be there to support you, then they would be. And if they don't, then they won't. And that's how adults do things.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that Camille was being a little sensitive about Teddy's remarks. I thought they were pretty benign. And she's like, she's inserting herself into conversations that she shouldn't. I mean, they're sitting at a picnic table eating sweet potatoes from foil. It's a good table conversation. She's allowed to say it. She's allowed to say
it. Teddy jumps in like, even when it's not about her. I mean, she was making me so crazy.
I don't know. I feel like that's what, at least someone's jumping in to say something, you know?
I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah. So either way, and plus I also like it because I'm really enjoying Camille getting irritated by Teddy.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, up like Denise is getting a massage, a face down massage. Hello.
I don't care what the fuck. Any house you're gonna fucking do with these ladies, idiots.
So, and did you notice she comes back and she's like, "So you guys making s'mores? You guys gonna make?" I don't know why I'm making her talk like that. You guys making s'mores? What's going on over here?
Hey,
Shecky. No, she's like, "You guys making s'mores?" And notice that no one said yes and that they never made s'mores. Of course. Soulless vampires.
She's like, "Well, I mean, that massage was all right. You don't get a fucking happy ending, but what else are you going to do about it? You know, it's fine. At least she rubbed me."
Yeah. And they're like, and Derek goes, do they even have a happy ending for a woman? I mean, my big happy ending's been PK. Trust me, that's a good one. Wake up feeling like I'm drowning half the time.
Oh, God. Yeah. And so basically, Denise starts talking about how, you know, that Aaron was the first guy that she dated that had never had a happy ending massage. So she went out and tried to find a happy ending massage place for him so that way he could experience it.
And everybody's shocked. They're like, what? And I was like, what the hell? And she says, yeah, well,
maybe I didn't say it right. What I'm trying to say is he's the only guy I've ever met who hadn't had a happy ending, so I got him a happy ending. Did you guys get it that time?
And they're like, what? And then they start talking
and
about it.
Teddy goes, a happy ending is a hand job, right? And she goes, yeah, I mean.
Know it all.
Oh, now you're telling a happy ending what it is, millennial.
I thought I had my happy ending with Kelsey. Turns out I didn't. So, yeah, so then the women are all, like, joking about what they would do if they found out that their husband went and got a happy ending, and Dorit's, like, saying what she would do if she found out PK got a happy ending, but then I was like, I don't want to think about someone giving PK a happy ending right now.
PK coming isn't a happy ending for anyone involved. Okay?
It's the new beginning of terrible memories.
Terrible ending.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like... You know, have you ever, like, taken the gizzards out of a turkey?
Oh.
Anyway. So, God. So then the question is, has Denise ever had a happy ending massage? And she's like, yeah. They're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm like, how'd you do it? What does that even mean? And Teddy's like, oh, then all the ladies talk about how they would react if their man had one.
Yeah.
And Teddy's like, if Edwin went to a happy ending, he'd have a happy removal shortly after.
Okay. Yeah.
And Eric is like, yeah, well, I'll say this much. I've never known a man who hadn't had sex with hookers.
And they're just like looking at her like, what the hell? And then Teddy goes, do you watch him get a happy ending? And Denise is like, no, that's disgusting.
Yeah, and they're like, okay. So they're talking about, like, what does it mean for a woman to get a happy ending? And Erica's like, well, you know, they eat the woman out. And Denise is like, that did not happen.
Is it finger banging? I think it's finger banging. It's like,
yeah. Look, guys, I didn't plan it. It just happened. I mean, I didn't stop it. What, am I an idiot?
So Camille's like, oh, you know, I had a relationship with someone in New York for 3 years, and we had incredible sexual experiences. Basically, I massage his prostate so he'd have better orgasms. They're all like, whoa! Welcome to gay sex.
I know, they're all going crazy.
Yeah.
And Rena's like, who else has secrets to share?
Kyle's like, I dropped off another kid at college, and I cried for 4 days straight. And then you had sex or something? No. No. I just cried. I never orgasmed that hard.
Great story, Kyle.
Great, Kyle. Great.
So Dorit's like, well, all right. I'm not really sure what to do about this. And Rinna goes, Camille, you're a legend. And then everyone's just silent around the fire, like, wow, Camille just totally stopped this entire trip.
Camille, were people doing coke in your boyfriend's prostate?
So then Dorit walks away, and she's like, I'll get us some drinks. Just a promise not to have any exciting conversations without me. Coyle. You promise, Coyle? And Carl's like, okay. So the second she leaves, Camille's like,
so are things better with Dorit after last night, Kyle?
Yeah. And so Kyle starts talking about the text message, and they're trying to understand PK's motivations. And Rinna's like, I mean, maybe it's malicious. Who knows? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was. Maybe it's malicious. At which point, Dorit is now back because she only went 5 feet away to pick up like some Mountain Dew. And she's back. She's like, what's malicious? And Rinna goes, PK. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. I'm like, what?
Yeah, we're saying it in a good way. And she goes, what you talking about? Come on, Goyles. And Rinna's like, Rinna's like, it was a good thing. And Kyle says, well, I was just saying that he sent me a text and I was good with it, you know, because obviously you talked to him. She goes, well, of course I talked to him. Even in the beginning, Carl, I told you I appreciate how you feel. And Dorit's like, God, when are we going to let this go? I was like, why don't we talk about glassware some more, Dorit?
Yeah, exactly.
Just let it go away.
Pantygate, etc. So then, Teddy starts weighing in on PK. About, I don't even remember what she was weighing in. I just wrote down that she's weighing in because I was like, I can't write down every detail about this, about what Teddy thinks on BK, but now Camille's
sitting. Because here she is jumping in again. This is what she does. So Carl's like, well, I like BK. And look, I just chalk it up to men say stupid things sometimes.
Far be it for us as two podcasters to ever have to endure someone jumping in on something that they're not involved with.
Well, so Teddy's like, I don't care. Okay, my point still stands. So Teddy jumps in and she's like, but this situation put everyone in a difficult way, okay? And you're putting yourself in the position of covering your own ass. And then that backtrack didn't go well. It didn't go well. And that's what it was, Dorit. She's all mad. And it's like, you were not involved in this at all, Teddy. Like, here's another fucking thing. This is not your business.
So Camille's annoyed and she's like, sometimes, Teddy, I think you insinuate yourself. And you're very bright for your age, which is, what, like 9, 10? But I agree. Yeah, too much insinuation of yourself. Like, what are you talking about, Camille? She's, like, implying that she has presence in a conversation.
And Teddy's like, well, blah, blah, blah. That's what I think. And Tariq goes, I know you think that. Thank you. She's like, are you saying it was deliberate and it doesn't help the situation, Teddy? It's inaccurate, it's unfair, and it hurts me. And Teddy's like, whatever, I would have said it right to PK's face, which is not the point.
Mm-hmm.
And then Camille's like, well, whatever, Teddy, you're insinuating yourself. But, you know, you're bright for your,
thanks for your approval. You're bright
for your, and you're like, my age. Oh, thanks.
Thanks for your approval. Thank you.
Thanks, Camille. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Teddy. Thanks for your approval.
I'm just saying that you're young. She's like, oh, for my age? Really? Really? She's like, I really hate when people talk down to me. She's like, I didn't talk down to you. Okay? She's like standing on a ladder above her. She's like, you little baby.
Yeah. So Camille's like, she's like, you know, it upset Kyle, it upset Dorit, and you don't have to interject, whatever. Well, I don't know, I'm sorry. She goes, Camille says about Teddy interrupting, upset Dorit, but she says Kyle first, and Teddy's like, stick to the storyline, we can talk more, Camille.
Oh, well, now look who's talking down to me. Zing.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, well, I don't like when you talk down to me. And she's like, what? I'm not talking down. She goes, we're all human beings here. She's like, but I'm just saying you push yourself into that conversation. And Erica's like, yeah, you know what? Did you say you're a know-it-all? And Cam's like, but I did say that because she does pretend she knows it all. And she's putting herself in the blah, blah, blah. And Teddy's like, why wouldn't you say that to me in the moment? Because what I've noticed about you is you talk out of the side of your mouth. But then when people are there, you change your tune. Two face. It's like, well, my face is right here.
Well, at least my third face is right here. It's like, I did not have a face down massage, so yes, this is my face right now.
Denise is like, yeah, and then you said that Teddy said that it was a setup or something, and Camille's like, yeah, because she was making it a conspiracy theory. And Erica's like, what? That was a conspiracy? What the fuck are you people talking about? And then we cut to Teddy all pissed off walking backstage with the boy George, saying like, he totally did that on purpose.
Right.
So that he could look better and that he could be friends with Lisa Vanderpump when she sees this on TV or whatever the hell she was talking about.
So Camille, you know, like, she has now used up all of her brain battery. So she's just trying to deflect now. She's like, well, you know what? The original hurt is from Lisa. It's from someone who's not here. And it's a toxic thing taking us over. I need someone to finish my senses. I've done too much talking for myself. It's hard. It's so upsetting.
And then Rinna, this all started because Rinna goes, you know what? Here's the thing. Guys, this was created by someone else. Not even us. Why are we even fighting about it, guys? Don't forget, this is about Lisa Vanderpump. Yeah. You know, Rinna can never let you forget. And so Cam's like, you're right. She's making it toxic. And then Carl's like, yeah, you know, the point is that we care. And she chooses not to be here.
Oh, yeah, she chooses. Yeah. Like, she would love to be with all these people who hate her right now.
Yeah, so then, now that Rinna steered it back to where it's supposed to be, Dorit is like, my friend has told me we've got no friendship anymore. And then I go into an evening with you saying I haven't met, that yeah, I'm not one of your real friends because I haven't met your friends, Coyle. And Carl's like, oh my God.
And then I went to the 7-Eleven and I played the scratch and win, and I scratched, but I didn't win. I mean, all these disappointments.
I haven't been able to move on since I saw Erica's vagina having a drink of champagne out of a rocks glass.
Yeah, so now Dorit is the victim. And then they go to sleep. And so now it's the next morning, and Teddy is like, "Hi, I'm Teddy," jogging all around this place. And Rinna is like, she's like, "I had a dream last night. I had a dream that Kyle got Portia a squirrel and put it on the floor."
"Did you put that rat on the floor last night? That was so wacky. Kyle, remember when you did that? That was crazy." And Kyle's like, "I didn't get to go to summer camp. So now I play wacky pranks on people." Kyle.
Yeah.
It's Kyle like, "Oh, I put a fake stuffed rat on there for what?" "Yeah, I put some fake spiders in there, man."
Fills the void of summer camp.
Yeah, the original Parent Trap was like 90 years ago, and Haley Mills was more current than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In modern times.
So they're all sort of sitting at this picnic table, and there's like some awkward silence with Teddy and Camille. And Teddy's like, "When it comes to Camille, her antics, I'm used to them by now. Like, one day she's like happy, one day she's sad. Like, hi, I'm Teddy."
Yeah. And basically she's saying, "I'm not fighting with Camille because I know she's trying to get center spot, you know, yeah. And you're not getting a cast member job on the show while I'm around. Biatch." So then Erica comes saying, "Hi, everybody. It's me, just totally normal go-kart riding, beer can shooting Erica. I'm going to have some pumpkin pie with some cheese whiz on it. What do you think of that? All right. I've proved myself. Let's go."
Yeah. Let's get a car and go home. So then, so they basically are like in the bus now, and she's like, "I've an announcement to make. You're all invited to my show, the Globe Theater, where I'll be singing my favorite song. I'm a lady who likes to fish."
"With my puss."
So they're all going to go to that. And then Kyle starts talking about like how J-Lo, she's talking about like haters on Instagram, and how like people, like real trailblazers like J-Lo and the Kardashians, have made it more acceptable for her to have a bigger butt. Which then leads into a whole conversation. She's like, "You know, it's just great. Like, my daughters don't feel that pressure of being thin the way that I felt it growing up, you know?" I'm like, yeah, they just only have the pressure of being famous and finding a rich man. And by the way, they still probably feel the pressure of trying to be thin because society is just fucked that way.
Yeah, and I'm like, Kyle's like, "Everything's changed with the Kardashians."
Thank God.
"Now women have self-confidence." I'm like, "Have you seen the Kardashians? They've changed their faces 19 times. What the fuck are you talking about?" It's like,
yeah.
"Oh, women aren't worried about their bodies anymore. That's why they all have implants and like 5 gallons of rubber cement in their face, Kyle. Give me a fucking break."
Yeah, you just talked about
really helped women.
Yeah, like you guys eat collectively 3 pieces of romaine lettuce at every single lunch, okay? You brought almond milk to go camping.
Yeah, it's all better now. My God.
Yeah, no pressure whatsoever. Oh, look, there's Bueller. Bueller has something to say.
Oh, God, you can see all that in my apartment. My apartment's filthy right now. Everybody.
I can see all that in a bag of Bueller. So, so I just thought it was funny because they're all talking about, like, God, well, I mean, I agree. Like, I don't know how teenagers get through life these days with social media. Like, I don't understand it. But the way that they're talking about how they don't have the pressures of, these girls don't have the pressures of being thin. Like, how do you say that when we've now had 4 different daughters who've been on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills go off to become models, you know? And, like, this idea that, like, they were able to excel. Because, like, no, those pressures are out there. They are really out there. And, Kyle, if you think your daughters don't have those pressures, or anyone doesn't have those pressures, you are cray cray, cray cray.
Yeah. And then Kyle, base model, is like, "Do you guys think that women are more pressured in Hollywood to look good?" Oh my God, Kyle, this has never been discussed before. I'm really glad you're here. Yeah. And Erica just turns around. She's in the front seat and she's like, "I'll look at myself like an art project. I'll create whatever the fuck I want till I'm done. How about that?"
And they're like, okay. They don't understand it. So they're just like, awesome, cool. Yeah, it's a great outlook. What does she mean? What
fucking Kyle.
About?
"Do you think it's really difficult for women in the entertainment industry?" No, Kyle.
Thanks for leading this panel. This panel discussion at Kyle by Kyle West.
Your basic Betty talks. Thanks for coming to my basic Betty talk.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. That brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Thank you so much for joining us here on our vidya. If you guys want video versions, we're doing them a couple times a week over on El Patreon.
Yeah.
So just go over there and sign up. Buy your live show tickets over at watchitcrappins.com. And go buy merch straight to the Rosé all day. And
Shut Up, Bran, and be sure to check out our new podcast for the final season of Game of Thrones, Winter is Crappening. We love you guys.
We love you guys. Have a great day. Bye. See you tomorrow.
If you enjoy this podcast, why not try Rethinking Business, a new podcast series brought to you by NatWest. Join me, Piers Linney, as I meet inspiring business leaders who are doing things differently, disrupting markets, overcoming challenges, and bouncing back when things don't go to plan. We'll hear how perceived barriers can be turned into advantages and how the journey to success is not always as you'd expect. This week, I'm joined by Alex Levin, a man turning football nets into big business at NetWorld Sports.
Whatever your product is you want to sell, if you're selling somebody else's product, there's not much legacy. Basically, all you can do is you can sell that product and the customer will want that brand. So I always thought the only products I want to sell are the products with our name on. And the only place they'll be able to get them is us.
That's Rethinking Business, brought to you by NatWest. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast app.